despite the craziness of everything going on, and we have now been basically 2.5 weeks into this pandemic. Obviously, the news on that front, not getting a whole lot brighter. There ain't going to be a lot more sunny days ahead. Hopefully, they are in the weeks to come. But over the next week or two, it's going to be very, very dicey around New York City. That all being said, it is kind of amazing to me in a way how sports news in many ways has found us. And trust me, I talked about it yesterday when we were reliving and going through a lot of those painful sports memories. And that was a good exercise. I think it was a good exercise for me. I think it was a good exercise for all of you. And it was one of those instances where you turn something that was really, really bad into something that maybe in some way, somehow allowed you to cope. That's what we are doing on a night in and night out basis. But from our little world of sports, Tuesday was one of those days where even if we were sitting here, I don't know, 2 days before opening day, if the news that came out today was a part of a normal day, was a part of our normal routine, I'd be like, holy smokes, we got a loaded show. And that's exactly what we have here for you. And we got to start with the news that I think caught everybody totally off guard. That, of course, the news that Noah Syndergaard, the top-notch former ace, former top 10 pitcher in baseball, wasn't that guy last year, but a guy who was, without a doubt, counted on to have a monster 2020 season, whatever the hell that was going to be. You find out Tuesday that Syndergaard has to go under the knife. Forget this. Tommy John surgery. And if that doesn't throw you a curveball from a much lighter sense, from a sports sense, I don't know what will. Throughout the entire spring, all I saw were pictures of Noah Syndergaard with no shirt on. All I saw were Noah Syndergaard wearing these, you know, bands and wearing all this stuff, this technology. I don't even know what the hell they call it. All over his skin to help with blood flow, to help with this, to help with that. And anytime I heard him in an interview, whether it was with the mass media, whether it was with Steve Gilbs or Gary Apple over at SNY, all I kept hearing was Noah Syndergaard is in the best shape of his life. Noah Syndergaard is on the verge of having this sort of monster season, one that Met fans have been waiting for now, going all the way back to 2016. To find out Tuesday that whenever baseball resumes, and who the hell knows when that is going to be, but whenever baseball resumes, Noah Syndergaard is not going to be ready to go. Noah Syndergaard is not going to be there for the New York Mets. Make no mistake. This would be a massive, massive blow to a Met team that's trying to find their way into the postseason. For a Met team that's trying to win a division title for the first time since 2015. I've been very hard on Noah Syndergaard. I'll be the first to admit that. Because I watched him in 2015. And then I watched him in 2016. And you know what I thought watching that guy at that point in time? This is going to be one of the best pitchers in all baseball. Between the stuff, the demeanor, the look, the body type, everything about him profiled Noah Syndergaard to be an ace. To put him in that Scherzer, DeGrom, Verlander, Cole type of conversation. But after the 2016 season, it just has not been the case for Noah Syndergaard. It's either been shortened seasons due to freakish type injuries, or last year when, I don't know if it was the juice ball, I don't know if it was the humidity, I don't know if it was Wilson Ramos, I couldn't keep track, quite frankly, of the amount of excuses that Noah Syndergaard was throwing out there as far as his poor performance, but he did not, despite what the advanced stats guys would tell you, give you the sort of year that would resemble one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. The hope was, going into 2020, that Syndergaard, knowing that there is this light at the end of the tunnel, which is his free agency after the 2021 year, would be in prime position to put up a monster year, to get ready for that massive contract, whether it's coming from the Mets, whether it's coming from somebody else, whatever the case may be. And now all of that is very much uncertain. And I know as I speak on behalf of this Noah Syndergaard injury, I know for many of you listening in the audience right now, probably saying, JJ, and what's going on in the world right now? And what's going on in our city right now? How in the world are we spending, you know, your energy, your breath, everything combined into one, talking about the injury of Noah Syndergaard? Because that's what we do. Because we are a place where talking about this sort of stuff, a Syndergaard, when we get to Robbie Anderson later in the show, when we get to Cam Newton, when we do the exercises like we did yesterday, it can be therapeutic. That it allows you, whether you're working in a hospital right now, whether you're a cop or a firefighter, whether you work in sanitation, whether you're just having a sleepless night, you're dealing with some insomnia, you're dealing with some anxiety. I know we've all been there. This is the toy store of what we do. We're going to continue to do that. And from a Mets standpoint, on a much lighter note, this is a massive blow for anybody thinking that this was going to be the best team in the National League East. Because how do you replace the production of a guy who, when he is right, should be striking out 230 guys, should be pitching to a sub 3.5 ERA, should be right there alongside Jacob DeGrom as the 1A within this rotation? That's going to be very, very tough to, dare I say, replicate. So where did the Mets go from here? It starts with Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman will be a free agent at the end of the year. Marcus Stroman basically was the guy that this regime decided to keep instead of a Zach Wheeler. Marcus Stroman is going to have to pitch like a big-time pitcher. He's going to now have to be that 1A to Jacob DeGrom. Remember those fun, lighthearted, easy spring training debates we had a couple weeks ago about, well, how is the back end of the Met rotation going to shake out between Rick Porcello, between Michael Wacha, between Steven Matz? What is the back half of the Met rotation going to look like, and who's going to be that odd man out? Well, now you can forget about anybody being in a position where they are the odd man out. That's over and done with. Steve Matt's going to get the ball every fifth day. Rick Porcello has been a guy that throughout his career, through good years, through bad years, has always taken a ball every fifth day. Michael Wacha, on the other hand, has been a guy who hasn't pitched a whole lot in the last few years. And now he is going to be counted upon that much more. This is going to be really, really tough for the Mets to handle. Because they're not in the right division to do so. That's the problem. They're in a division with an Atlanta team that's won the division back-to-back years. That's young, that's emerging, that feels like they're getting better and better. The Nationals, yes, they lost Anthony Rendon, who is the ultimate Met killer. We know that. But the Washington Nationals won the World Series last year. They still have Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Soto, just to name a few. They added to their bullpen. They're going to be a tough team to beat. The Phillies are going to be better. They still have problems, but they scooped Zach Wheeler away from the Mets. They scooped Didi Gregorius away from the Yankees. And most importantly, they scooped Joe Girardi to be their manager. And if you've watched baseball here in this town, going back to when Joe Girardi was managing the Yankees in 2008, and I know I'm reading now in the Inside the Empire book by Bob Clappish the tight, wounded nature in which Girardi went about dealing with players and situations, but here's what I know. Despite that rigid personality, he sure won a whole lot of baseball games and knew how to manage a bullpen and knew how to manage a team with declining stars on the way out. So Joe Girardi could run my team any day of the week. The guy could manage. So that's going to be a big win for Philadelphia. So the Mets were hoping that a a DeGrom Syndergaard 1-1A, complimented by the other guys, complimented by the lineup, was going to be their ticket into getting back to the postseason and to going out and winning a division title. This is a major blowing off that. And the crazy thing to think about, folks, and I saw this minutes after the Syndergaard injury. You go back to when we fantasized, and a Met fan most certainly fantasized, about all those starting pitchers. Starting with the arrival of Matt Harvey in 2013. Then, of course, the trade with Zach Wheeler bringing him over for Beltran. Then you heard about Montero. He fizzled out. Then you made the Dickey trade with Darno and, of course, Noah Syndergaard. And then Steven Matz, who came up from Long Island and through the minor league system. And a bunch of guys had this as soon as the news came out. Every single one of those starting pitchers, Harvey, Wheeler, Matz, and Syndergaard, have all gone under the knife for Tommy John surgery. If that doesn't speak to the fickle nature of pitching in this day and age of Major League Baseball, folks, I don't know what will. And to try to be the one to give you the complex theory of why this is happening, very, very tough to do. But I'll give you this. I look at a guy like Noah Syndergaard, who looks like not exactly a pitcher. Noah Syndergaard, when you see him with that shirt on, looks like a bodybuilder. He looks like a guy who is conditioning himself for, I don't know, walking the beaches of California, pumping up the chest, pumping up the triceps, walking around surfing, maybe looking to meet some pretty girls, or maybe looking to hit the gym and bench as much as humanly possible. I'm not exactly sure. But we're seeing it now more and more and more with these body types that go above and beyond. For a game like baseball, that's very much about core strength and flexibility. That's the body type I'm looking for in a baseball player. I know it ain't going to wow you. I know it ain't going to knock your socks off. But it seems like the excessive, and I don't want to pretend to be, you know, a nutritionist. I don't want to pretend to be somebody who is involved in weight training and, you know, a physical therapist, trainer, all that combined into one. I'm not. I'm a sports talk radio host. So I'm looking at this and I'm sitting at a certain high horse, I guess, right now, because I am at a high top table as I do this radio show. So maybe that's why the vocabulary is coming into play. But, you know, I see a guy like Syndergaard bulking up the way that he has. And I wonder if that's the best way to condition your body for going through 162 games. No real rhyme or reason for it. But the Mets now have to make some serious, serious adjustments to maybe expectations whenever we have a baseball season, to what the rest of the rotation is going to look like. And we'll get into the future of Noah Syndergaard. Is this now something that works in the Mets' favor as far as keeping him? Or are we looking at Noah Syndergaard as a guy at the end of 2021 who's going to be looking to play out his contract? Anybody who had the Mets ticketed for a division title, or anybody who had the Mets ticketed for, let's say, a playoff appearance, whenever there is a baseball season, and that is a great mystery, and that is a question I most certainly do not have an answer to, but whenever we do have baseball, it's going to feel and it's going to look a whole lot different. Not only what's going on in our society, but from a Mets standpoint, knowing your second best pitcher, your 1A, is not going to be ready to start the year. And it's not going to be ready at all in 2020.